We read today from the letter of Paul to Titus. And he says this in the third chapter. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with you, me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, if you ask Jesus a question, the kind of answer you often got, very often got, was not so many words, but rather a story. And really, the whole Bible is a story. Much more than a book of rules or a list of ways to live, the Bible is a story, the story of God and humanity reaching toward one another. And so we talk about the Christmas story at this time of year, and so very often at this time of year we tell a story. And so here's one you may have heard before. It's called The Moon of Bethlehem. Robert turned away from his newspaper with a sigh. It was Christmas Eve, and he could not believe the story he had just read. When the papers tried to say something about Christmas without getting too religious. It was an interview with an astronomer, a scholar trained at the University of Wisconsin, no less. The Star of Bethlehem, the star that led the wise men to the baby Jesus, the astronomer suggested that the Star of Bethlehem may well have been an eclipse of the planet Jupiter and the moon that occurred twice at about the time Jesus was born, appearing in the east, just as the Gospel of Matthew had said. Amid all the explanations of the Star of Bethlehem as a comet or a supernova or a dramatic aligning of the planets, this was a new one to Robert. So the Star of Bethlehem is actually the Moon of Bethlehem, Robert thought. We're going to have to change a few Christmas carols, not to mention the Bible. Now, for some people, this would be comforting news. The idea there was some kind of astronomical phenomenon, something that today we could show happened in the sky over the Middle East at the time Jesus was born, that would be more intellectual support, that the Bible is telling the truth, that things happened the way the Bible tells us they happened, that the Christmas story is backed up by facts, facts that you can prove. But not for Robert. For Robert, Christmas needed more mystery, not less. For Robert, Christmas was not something that needed to be explained, but rather something he longed to experience. The truth is, for Robert, it wasn't Christmas, but God who seemed, well, maybe not distant, but not very close either. I mean, he'd grown up in church. He went to Sunday school. He brought his wife Ann and their boys to church. He'd been on committees and such. Faith had been part of his life, his whole life. But he hadn't really felt it. He hadn't felt it, whatever it was. It was hard to express this to anyone, and so he never had. Something changed when Nicole was born, his first grandchild. Nothing prepared him for the intensity of his feelings, how precious she was, how much he loved her. She was a gift from God, for sure, he thought. He'd felt something like it when he held his own sons for the first time. But too quickly, that overwhelming love was diluted, first by the endless energy that babies require, and later by teaching them and guiding them and shaping them and raising them, all those necessary roles that somehow got in the way of just loving them. Oh, he loved his boys, surely, always, unreservedly. But Nicole was different. Without any of those parental responsibilities, he was free to just love her for her. You know, the classic line, it's great being a grandparent because you just enjoy them, and then when you're done, you hand them back. Well, that was Robert. He got that, except he really didn't hand Nicole back. Not ever. Not when she was fussing. Not when she was sick. Certainly not when she was ready to fall asleep. He loved to hold her as she fell asleep on his shoulder, knowing that she felt secure in his arms. Now Nicole was 3 years old. Robert took her on walks to the park, gave her ice cream as much as possible, and read to her often. Her favorite book was one that his boys had loved too, Good Night Moon. He delighted in her delight in that book, and together they would say good night to everything in their bedroom, the brush, the bowl of mush, the old lady whispering hush. And of course, they would say good night to the moon. In fact, Nicole became quite good at spotting the moon. She could find it in the daytime even, when she would say, good night, moon, and then laugh and laugh. Until one day, when she looked all over the night sky and could not find the moon, could not find it, and in a panic, ran to Robert saying, Grampy, Grampy, the moon is gone, with tears beginning to form in her eyes. Robert touched her tiny cheek with his palm and said, don't worry, Nicole. The moon will be back. The moon will be back. She looked at him with those trusting eyes, believing him. And then a few nights later, when Robert looked out the kitchen window to see that indeed the moon had returned, he called Nicole on the phone. The moon is back, Nicole. Look and see. She dropped the phone, ran to the window, and even from a distance, he could hear her glee. The moon is back, she shouted. The moon is back. And from then on, in person or by phone, Robert and his granddaughter would check in on the moon together. Christmas felt different with Nicole around. Was this how God felt? Robert wondered. Was this the love that God feels when he looks down on his children? What would it be like to feel loved like that? He didn't know. But he did know how much he loved Nicole, and her first three Christmases had been special indeed. But not this one. Not this one. He frowned. It wasn't really the article in the newspaper he knew. Moon Schmoon. Didn't really matter what the Star of Bethlehem was or how it led wise men to the Christ child. That wasn't what was making him grumpy. The real reason he knew was that he would not be seeing his Nicole at Christmas. Robert understood, of course. It was the other grandparent's turn. He'd had his granddaughter the first three Christmases, after all. But why did they have to live on the East Coast? And why did his son and daughter-in-law have to go for 10 days? Why, that was practically 2 weeks. I mean, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Nicole around. He tossed the newspaper, stomped around a bit, and let him stomp, having a pretty good guess what the problem was. He went out to the mall to finish his Christmas shopping, and of course, that did wonders for his mood. Tinny carols on the intercom, fake snow. Salespeople, who weren't one bit rude at all, really, they were just exhausted. Robert came home to wrap up the last gift for Anne, and then they sat down to Christmas Eve dinner in relative silence. He didn't ignore Anne's attempts at conversation, it's just that his heart wasn't in it. There wasn't going to be much of a Christmas this year, he thought. It was almost time to leave for church for the candlelight service. Robert and Anne would be ushers. Why not, he thought, since they didn't have family in town. The night was dark and cold already, and Anne called to him from the kitchen, Robert, it's time to put the Christ child in the manger. He sighed. That was their family tradition. For years, right before they left a church, he would secretly put the little wooden figure of the baby Jesus in the nativity set. And then when they came home from the Christmas Eve service, the kids would discover that Christ had somehow mysteriously appeared in the little wooden manger. Robert picked up the wooden figure. Why bother, he thought. There aren't any kids around this year. The phone rang. Who on earth could that be, he wondered. He didn't recognize the number. He picked it up on the third ring with a slightly gruff hello. And he heard a tiny voice. The moon is back, Grampy. The moon is back. His heart leaped, jumped, pole vaulted in his chest. Go look, Grampy, Nicole went on nonstop as usual. Look and see, look and see. He peered through the frosty window, and there it was. I see the moon, Nicole. I see it. Merry Christmas, Grampy. I love you. And he heard the phone drop to the floor as her voice trailed off in the distance, shouting Merry Christmas one more time as she went. His son picked up the phone. It was all Nicole, Dad. She saw the moon and said, we have to call Grampy. We have to call Grampy. Robert could barely speak his Christmas greetings to his son. He hung up. He walked to the window, looking up at the moon, and he felt surrounded by love. Pure, undiluted, unconditional love that he never quite felt before. He knew something about giving that kind of a love as a parent, as a grandparent, but somehow he'd always missed what it was like to receive a love like that. And it took a child, Robert thought. It took a child for him to get it. The moonlight shone down on the wooden Christ child in his hand. And that moment was Christmas for Robert. His first Christmas, really, as Robert felt the love of the Christ child in the love of his precious granddaughter. For on that first Christmas, God gave us a child, an innocent, vulnerable child, who would love all people with a pure and undiluted and unconditional love right to the very end of his life and beyond. He gently laid the baby Jesus in the manger. If Nicole loved him like that, how much more the child of Bethlehem? Later that night, Robert and Anne lit their candles from the Christ candle, and as the glow spread from one face to another throughout the sanctuary, Robert's thoughts flew from candlelight to moonlight. Somehow he knew this was not his experience alone, that somewhere tonight there was a worried mother looking at the moon and making the same connection with her sailor son. Somewhere tonight there was an accountant feeling close to his long-gone father, remembering the times they spent fishing in the moonlight. Somewhere tonight there was a family separated by a hurricane who could not afford to come together for Christmas, and they too were looking up at the same moon in the same night sky. He smiled. Maybe it wasn't a star over Bethlehem after all, he thought. Maybe it was some kind of a lunar eclipse. It didn't matter, really. Starlight, moonlight, it was all God's light. God's love shining down on the earth and on each and every one of us. All the candles were lit, and so he joined the congregation now already in song. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Robert hadn't wanted an explanation of Christmas after all. It was the experience of Christmas that he wanted, the love of Christ, really. And even without Nicole asleep on his shoulder, that's exactly what he got. Pray with me. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. Amen.